In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, a month or two ago, probably about 2 months by now, an American archbishop canceling masses in his diocese on account of the COVID-19 virus said, "My number one priority as your archbishop is to ensure the safety and health of all who attend our masses, the children in our schools, and those who we welcome through our outreach and services. My number one priority is your safety and health." With all due respect, Your Excellency, no, it's not. Your priority as Archbishop is the salvation of the souls entrusted to you. And it might be objected that I'm nitpicking one statement, but it reflects a mentality. The bishops in this country and in much of the world were canceling masses and confessions and closing their churches when bars and nightclubs were still open. They've made little effort in general, there are some exceptions certainly, but in general, little effort to continue to provide for the spiritual needs of the faithful during these times of crisis. As if in a crisis of public health, there's no need to look after anyone's spiritual welfare, or that spiritual welfare should be made entirely subordinate to physical health. It indicates that they have been conquered to a large extent by a spirit of naturalism. In today's epistle, St. Peter speaks of refraining from carnal desires which war against the spirit, which war against the soul. And that word carnal immediately brings to mind for us, I think, sins of impurity, of unchastity, but it's broader than that. Carnal is whatever pertains to the body, and whatever, by extension, whatever pertains merely to this life here below. St. Peter tells us we should be as strangers and pilgrims, not acting as though we were living merely for this life, just passing through, looking ahead to that ultimate goal, not letting ourselves be detained by anything in this world. And that's just the opposite spirit of naturalism. Naturalism sees only the things of this world. It is the prevailing error of our day. It's the denial that there is anything supernatural, anything beyond what we can perceive by our senses. Communism, socialism, liberalism, Freemasonry, modernism, and a host of other errors and isms have as their basis this naturalism. John Lennon's song, Imagine, has been in the news again lately because of some celebrities making fools of themselves singing it. But that embodies the spirit of naturalism. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us and above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Well, he picked the right title anyway, because that scenario is utterly imaginary. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and there is religion, thank God. But that's the mentality, right? Denying effectively that anything supernatural exists. And the result is the perverting of the whole reason of man's life on earth. Everything becomes about our carnal desires. Everything becomes about the things of this earth. No longer pilgrims looking towards a greater goal, we set about building false utopias here below, here on earth. It's distressing enough when we see the avowed enemies of the church embracing this mentality and trying to push it. It's much worse when we see the men of the church spouting the same garbage. But this is the fundamental problem in the modern church. At the Novus Ordo Mass, it's ugly, it's mundane, it's insipid, but those aren't the main problems. The main problem is a total loss of any sense of the transcendent. That the Mass is not preoccupied anymore with the worship of Almighty God through the unbloody continuation of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's become a community meal centered on the participants. No longer rising up, it stays on the level of this earth. We have to make it appealing to the people. Of course, it doesn't appeal to the people. Nobody goes anymore. It's an idea that's utterly failed, but it never should have come up in the first place. It's the wrong mentality. Is it the right way to worship God? That's the real question. Mass is meant to be an exercise of the virtue of religion by which we declare God's greatness and our dependence. Or we can think about how moral theology, if we can even call it that, is taught in the modern church. It's become all about the conscience of the individual believer. Conscience is certainly important. It's a necessary act of our reason and our will to apply the principles to particular circumstances. But modern churchmen treat the conscience as if it were the source of principles, the only standard of conduct for human beings. Never mind the commandments, never mind the absolutely unambiguous statements of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right, and we see it. Birth control, divorce and remarriage, support for perverse lifestyles, and so on. It's rampant among people who call themselves Catholic in our days. Who are we to judge when it's a question of sodomy? But of course, we'll denounce traditional devotional practices, proselytism, and ecological sins with tremendous acrimony. Moral theology should teach us how to be pleasing to God, how to avoid sin and to save our souls. It's not an exercise in justifying whatever deviant behaviors we happen to enjoy. We can also think about the way that Catholics, again, including members of the hierarchy, think about the church herself. Is it a divine institution? Has it been founded by our Lord Jesus Christ with certain properties for the purpose of saving souls? Or is it merely for helping people feel good and live a comfortable life? Is it unchangeable, or does it have to get in step with every short-sighted trend this insane world can cook up? Is it just one of many religious clubs that I can join based on what I like? No. It's the one church of God, and it's absolutely necessary for my salvation. And we see this corruption of these ideas because of the imposition of those carnal desires, of that obsession with the things of this life. The applause of the world, good relations with people of other beliefs, an easy conscience, we're after that instead of being pleasing to Almighty God and the sanctification and salvation of our soul. This naturalistic outlook is the source of the crisis in the church. We're not here because the traditional Mass is prettier than the Novus Ordo. It certainly is. We're not here because we get a kick out of operating outside ordinary canonical structures. We are fighting against the disease of naturalism that is trying to entirely corrupt the church and her mission. But if we're aware of it on that level, we also need to be aware of the tendency to naturalism in ourselves. Not a philosophical naturalism. We don't deny the existence of the soul, the reality of original sin, that God has created and redeemed us. We accept the articles of the creed, we attend the traditional Mass, we pray, and so on. But there is a practical sort of naturalism. In the conduct of our lives, there tend to be those areas in which we do not allow the consideration of the supernatural to enter in. You've heard me before give the catechism rhyme. Mr. Business was a Catholic. He never missed a Sunday. Mr. Business went to hell for what he did on Monday. Business, entertainment, politics, the education of our children, and so on. Too often, we don't think about the supernatural goals of all of those things. None of them is independent from God. None of them is independent from our salvation. Our conduct in those things will influence where we spend eternity. And we have to keep that in mind. We have to refuse this naturalistic spirit in theory and in practice. We rightly abhor the denial of God in the world and in the church. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, too often we let these carnal desires have the first place in much of our decision making. Pride, human respect, the love of comfort, the desire for money, lust, and so on, they can enter insidiously into our motivation. We have to be honest with ourselves and refuse these tendencies to really be as strangers and pilgrims. You shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice. Our Lord says in the gospel today to his faithful followers. Resisting those carnal desires, putting aside those naturalistic goals, is harder. It's painful at times. It's difficult. And in the meantime, the world is congratulating itself, reveling in its pleasures and comforts, which can be discouraging for us. But that rejoicing of the world is fleeting. It's gone in a moment. As we see in this time of the coronavirus, how many of these carnal desires have been thwarted. So also you now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. Again, living as strangers and pilgrims. We are moving towards heaven where we will see our Lord Jesus Christ, where we shall have that profound and eternal supernatural joy. We will scarcely remember the difficulties that we endured here on earth. All carnal desires will then have passed away, in the bliss of possessing God himself for all eternity. That's what we're made for. That's our only goal. We have to set our sights there as pilgrims. And so as we begin this month of Our Lady, we ask her to obtain for us that complete conquest of naturalism in the church, in the world, and in ourselves, so that as many as possible might reach eternal life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.